two men enter, but only one can be named champion. These men have faces for radio, but do they have the chin to take a punch?
You want me to hit you?
That's right.
What, like in the face?
Surprise me.
This is so stupid.
Anyone can give a hot take. Everyone has an opinion, but can they fight?
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
It's time for the Killer Bees Fight Club. Let's get ready to... Okay, that's Michael Buffer's lawyers. I'm not going to say the line, Michael Buffer lawyers. I'm not going to say the line. You're so strong.
Last Friday, we had two Donnybrooks. One of them was a massacre, but the other one, they fought tooth and nail. One of them doesn't have a tooth, and the other one paints his nails. Booker T destroying John Lopez in the first matchup last Friday. Booker T won 80% to 20% against John Lopez. This should have been me in this fight. I should have beaten John Lopez. The voters got it wrong. But I am happy that I didn't have the embarrassment of getting beat greater than 80 to 20%.
That's a thump.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, I think they got it right. I mean, obviously, that was what we all expected. I don't know, you know, and Lopez isn't the kind of guy that's going to get his followers and listeners to come to his aid. I mean, that's a no-brainer. I mean, Booker T is who he is, five times.
Yeah, so Booker T advances to the Elite Eight in the Cooper region. The second fight in the Cooper region last Friday, this was a good one. It was Paul Gallant versus Sean Bajani. Paul Gallant victorious. Ooh. He defeats Sean Bajani 53% to 47%. Gallant advances.
Look, I think that if this one was in real life, a lot of people would sign up to go watch that fight.
Yeah.
I mean, those are two guys in their prime, and they take care of themselves. That looked like it would be a knockdown dragout, and I'm glad that the results showed that up.
Who do you think would win?
Bajani.
I think it depends on the mood.
What do you mean?
Like, I think if Paul's fired up, I think Paul can take it, but he's going to have to be triggered. If Paul is not triggered, I think it's Sean.
I don't know if Bajani has that kind of switch.
He's a competitor, though.
He's competitive, he's a competitor. No doubt. But and he's such a good dude. But Bajani is just, I mean, he's strong and he's in really, really good shape.
Yeah.
I think it would come down to probably a vote, the judges. But, man, it's hard for me to go against him.
All right, two fights today in the Rich Lord region. Unfortunately, Brian was fired, so he can't defend himself. But Brian fights Sean Salisbury in a Sweet 16 matchup in the Rich Lord region. A-Rod, who's arguing for who here? Be kind when you choose. Who's arguing for Brian? Who's arguing for Salisbury?
I will say that Joel fights for Salisbury and Jeremy fights for Brian.
All right, thanks, Austin. Appreciate it. You can turn off your mic,
Austin,
now.
Way to go.
All right, go ahead.
I mean, from the QB1's perspective, look, this is a guy that's been there, done that. He's got a chip on his shoulder. We know that he's got a temper. He can get angry. He can come out firing and flaring. And this is not anything to look at an opponent and think they're going to try and run him around the ring and get him tired. This is one where the target is right there for the taking. And whether he's at his nimble best or not, all it's going to take is that my man Sean Salisbury gets within, you know, punching distance, and he is going to take care of his business. He's got that ex-NFL mentality in him. He's got that warrior mentality in him. I don't think BMAC really likes a whole lot of physical contact. I think Sean's going to make him pay, and it's going to be over quickly.
Yeah, this is uncomfortable considering today's news, but Brian is a big fan of the Sweet Science.
He is, that's right.
He'll have more time to train now, so that bodes well. Brian's younger than Sean is. That counts for something, doesn't it? I don't know if he has a longer reach, so I can't say that. Is he quicker? I don't know if I can even say that, but he's gritty. He's a survivor. He's going to find a way to win. Hey, Rudd, how do you see this fight going?
You could have said if he gets him to the ground, he could take him.
Yeah, I don't think Brian, I'm going to be honest, I don't think Brian would be all into fighting, so I think Salisbury rather easily.
All right, rather easily. I don't think that's a hot take at all, A-Rod. I think you're right on that. All right, our second fight of the day I think has got a chance to be a really good one.
A Donnybrook?
It's also in-house.
Oh.
It's in-house. Glenn Davis. How old is Glenn? 55? He looks like he's 35.
Yeah, he's 50. He looks like Ray Liotta in his prime.
Glenn Davis goes toe-to-toe with Lance Zierlein. So ESPN v. ESPN in a matchup to advance to the Elite Eight, where the winner gets either Brian or Sean Salisbury. Austin, who's arguing for who in this case?
All right, so Joel will be arguing for Lance, and Jeremy will be arguing for Glenn.
All right. Glenn's going to get this matchup to the feet. And if Glenn gets this matchup to the feet, Glenn Davis is going to win. Glenn Davis, a professional soccer player back in his day, has feet like no one else. Lance Zierlein, we know, has terrible feet. Lance Zierlein sprains his ankle walking down the sidewalk. Lance Zierlein has to be on a scooter whenever he's playing disc golf. So who do you think the athlete is here? Who do you think the fighter is here? Who do you think the tough guy is here? Glenn Davis rolls to the Elite Eight.
Well, I think the key term here is sweep the leg. That's all we're going to do here is if you're Lance and you realize that you probably have a long way to go and a short time to get there, the best thing you do is to do what they say can't be done, and that means you sweep the leg. Glenn just had major knee surgery. He's in a brace. He is completely immobile. And for a guy like Lance, especially when he's in the trenches and he's looking at all that videotape about the best ways that guys get down and gritty, you know, at the line of scrimmage, he needs to go and sweep the leg. And once Glenn is on the ground, he needs to put all the pressure in the world on top of Glenn and make this thing over quickly so that he can't hurt himself.
You have to win quickly so he doesn't get injured. Less time on the field,
right,
less opportunity to get hurt. Less time in the ring, less opportunity to get hurt. Austin, how do you see this fight turning out?
I was originally going to go Glenn, but I didn't know he just had a major surgery, so that changes things
well
a
argued.
Lot.
That's so, well argued. What kind of surgery, though?
Oh, he said it was major knee surgery. He can only stand up for short periods of time.
ACL, MCL, meniscus?
I don't know. I just heard him tell the story about he's in a brace, and when calling games, he has to alternate sitting and standing throughout games.
He's a tough guy, though, Austin. He's tough. He played soccer.
You're going too far. Your time to rebuttal this and debate this is over.
Soccer guys never take dives or flop or, you know, go down unintentionally.
Famously never.
So you're going with Lance, huh?
Yeah, Lance.
I think I might have messed up my patellar tendon the other day, actually.
How?
I don't know. It's right here on the top of my kneecap, and anytime I bend it out, it feels like it's going to snap.
Maybe you just hyperextended.
I hope so.
That would be the best
case scenario. That can get fixed without going to a doctor, right?
No.
Hyperextension can
hyperextension, yes. If you actually did something to your patella, no.
That's the patellas on the top of the knee?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel
Maybe
good.
Maybe you and Lance were walking in crosswalks.
I was actually playing volleyball.
Oh, okay.
I shouldn't be doing that at my age. All right, you can vote now at Jeremy Branham to see who advances. The one that's open up for vote right now is Sean Salisbury against Brian McDonald. We'll put the main event, not this little squash match. That will come up in about 30 minutes or so. Sean has the early lead over Brian to much surprise blankers. He leads 87%.
Ooh.
To 13%. So it's not boding well. It's been a bad day for Brian. Tomorrow we'll wrap up the Sweet 16, a matchup between Landry Locker and John Granato. That'll be a fun one. And then wrapping up the Sweet 16 tomorrow will be Seth Payne versus The Show. So a little Highway to Hell versus Highway to Hell. The morning co-host on PP will be with the PM host on the Sterner Show. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Our guy, Matt Miller, he's a friend of the show. He loves the Killer Bees, and we love Matt Miller. He has a mock draft out. Who are the Texans picking at 42? We try to make mock drafts great again. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. But first, I got to tell you about the greatness that is BetUS. It's time, basketball bettors. Only a few more games to bet on. It's March Mania. Branham here to tell you all about BetUS.com. I endorse one sportsbook and casino, and that's BetUS.com. They've been driving to the basket for over 30 years. This year, BetUS has an epic three-pointer, a 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. That's right. The industry's craziest 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. deposits. Plus, 10% gambler's insurance, and there's even more. BetUS accepts crypto and is offering a massive 200% crypto sign-up bonus. Gambler's insurance and crypto. You don't see that everywhere. March Mania basketball can get even more exciting with their live in-game betting. It's also a blast to check out their casino after the game, where you could get a 250% casino bonus. Get started by visiting BetUS.com or give them a call at 1-800-MY-BETUS to learn all about their bonuses and special offers. BetUS, where the game begins.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Brannan
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You can vote now, Killer Bee Fight Club Bracket. Paul Gallant might have beaten Sean Bajani virtually. Paul likes fighting on the internet.
Yes, indeed he does. He told me about it. I had no clue about it. Austin and I were sitting out in the bullpen. Oh. Came out during a break. And just,
what did he say? Are you at liberty? Is it behind the scenes
stuff?
Austin,
is it fair to say he wasn't very complimentary of who he was fighting with on Twitter?
Well, oh, Paul, I mean, it's out there. It's public records. What'd you say, A-Rod?
Oh, I said that's definitely fair to say he was not in...
He was fired up.
See the person in high regards. Let's say that much.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't know
why, and he said, "Go check my Twitter."
Yeah, I saw a bit of the Twitter stuff. Paul got into a fight with Larry from Stafford on the internet Twitter. What started it was Jamal Shedd's ankle injury.
Yep, it sure did.
And Larry and Stafford said that he would play on the ankle injury, which is asinine, crazy, crazy statement. And then Paul went back at him, and eventually Paul called him fat.
And Paul basically said, basically calling him out, being overweight, not even close to, the conditioning of Shedd, to be able to say that he could go out and do what Jamal Shedd wasn't able to do is ludicrous.
I have notoriously and infamously weak ankles. I am well known for this amongst, my friend group and guys that I do athletic things with, sport things. There's times whenever I've rolled my ankle, I can't walk. Can't walk.
If you go on a hard outer ankle, if you just roll it outside and the bone, goes down far enough, that's a distinct possibility.
I've rolled my ankle so bad where I fractured my fibula. I've experienced grade one ankle sprains. It's why I find the whole John Grenard thing very curious. If Aaron Wilson was right on that, if John Grenard had a grade one ankle sprain and he missed two games, that's something that Paul should have talked to Larry about, by the way, because I think Larry's a John Grenard stan. Why did John Grenard miss two games with a grade one ankle sprain and the most critical regular season games for the Houston Texans in 5, 6, 7 years? I like Larry and Stafford, but he's ignorant to ankle injuries, quite frankly.
Yeah, I think some people sometimes get a little over empowered on the internet to be able to make statements that they should probably regret making, because this is a fine-tuned college athlete that has a massive future ahead of him. And you don't know what you don't know. So you should probably just sit that one out.
Yeah, the conversation, I think, took on its own entity. Now it's like, can Larry play basketball on a severely sprained ankle? And I think the answer to that question is a very easy no.
No.
Very, very easy no. And then Paul called him fat. Bush League or not, Paul calling Larry and Stafford fat on Twitter. 713-780-3776.
Larry rebutted with a little bit more name calling.
What do you call him? I was kind of checked in. I didn't see all of it, but I saw some of it.
Questioned Paul's manliness and was like, otherwise I would have come out to see you.
Yeah, that's empty threats. Larry's not doing that.
Yeah, no, he's not. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you want to turn that? That's your rebuttal? Come on, man. I mean, I think if you're going to go hard, then go hard on Twitter. But you're both grown ass men at different points in your life where you're not going to fight anymore.
Is it fair to call Paul Metro?
Yes.
Is it fair to still use that in 2024? Or am I on my way to being canceled?
No, I think that's a fair term.
I'm not very hip. I'm not very cool. I don't know what's in and what's out.
I think
out.
Metro is more of a fashionable male. It doesn't have anything to do with your sexual preference. It has more to the point of Paul wearing the inseam of his pants higher, so his socks show, or the smaller, tighter versions of shirts and shorts, because that's the more in fashionable way to wear them.
All right, final question on the Paul Gallant versus the Larry.
You want to do a fight club?
Twitter
who would win this one?
Yeah, I do. That's exactly what I want to do. Who would win?
Yeah, I think Paul would win.
Yeah.
I think as much as if Larry could get him on the ground, that he'd have a chance. I don't think there's any chance Larry's getting him on the ground. I think Paul's dancing around and he's going to get to his shots. And when he does, he's going to land them and he's going to take advantage of it.
Yeah, I don't think Paul has any trouble.
I
don't think Paul has any trouble on this one. All right, our guy Matt Miller, 713-780-3776, if you want to opine on Paul Gallant, Larry, and Stafford. He works for ESPN, great draft guy. He's, I think, the best one that they have there at ESPN. He's my favorite ESPN draft guy. We've had him on the show. I think he was on a cricket phone whenever he was on the show, but it doesn't take away from his expertise, maybe his quality and phone provider, but not his expertise when it comes to the NFL draft. He did a 7-round mock draft. We're not going through every 7-round. But we're making mock drafts great again every time that we get a chance, and it's not as easy to do now that Nick Caserio traded out of the first round and down to number 42. Four players that we're operating with. We go with who he had the Texans taking and then the next three guys. The first one, the pick 42, he had the Texans drafting Braden Fiske from Florida State. Defensive tackle. They think he's playing one tech. In fact, from a lot of like the knowledgeable people who follow the Texans when it comes to football, a lot of people I've seen like him more than they like Sweat.
Really?
I think he's a better fit. So he was the first pick. How would you feel if he was the pick at number 42?
I trust that their ability to break down a player and to be able to analyze him and they're addressing a need is where I would feel good about it. If they know that they still need a one-tech defensive lineman and they're going to get him, then to me, the name isn't as important as getting the guy that you feel schematically is the guy D'Amico wants that can use, that can plug into his system to do what he needs to do, especially for next season. So then I'd be fine with it.
Yeah, I think this would be a good pick. It's one that I've kind of thought about, and I think he'd be a good fit for the Texans. They need that position. I would be totally okay at 42. Mm-hmm. And plus, I'm not going to be as up in arms at 42 as I was at 23.
Sure.
The next option that we have is Kool-Aid McKinstry, the corner from Alabama, which we were talking about him at times at number 23 early in this entire process. At 44, he has Roger Rosengarten, an offensive tackle from Washington. I'm not going to – oh, we're eliminating offensive tackles. I forgot about a rule. Roman Wilson's the next option, the receiver from Michigan. People think he would be really good in this offense, so that's somebody that I've seen a lot of fans want. And then the final option would be Marshawn Neyland, a defensive end from Western Michigan. First time I've ever read his name. I know nothing about Marshawn Neyland. So you have those four options. Brandon Fiske. I'm not even sure if I'm saying his name right. It could be Fiske. Kool-Aid McKinstry, the corner from Alabama. Roman Wilson, the wide receiver from Michigan. And Marshawn Neyland, the defensive end from Western Michigan. You get your option of those four. Which of the four are you picking?
Yeah, this to me comes down to either D-line or wide receiver. I just think that you've tried to do enough already with corner, with the guys you've signed, that I just don't believe that they're still going to focus on another corner, but maybe they will. And we talked about it's a deep corner draft. And if Kool-Aid slides, if they feel like Kool-Aid can help right away and he can compete with Okuda and some of the guys that they brought in, then maybe that would be a good pick. You take the offensive lineman out of it. I'm looking at either the D-tackle, the wide receiver, and maybe the corner. To me, I like the fact that if you take the kid from Michigan, everybody was looking at him potentially because this draft is so deep with wide receivers that he might be the kind of guy that can really perform well for you. So it would give food for thought for me to consider. But I'm taking the defensive lineman because I think that's the most important need. You can get by with Tank. You can get by with Nico. You can do some other things with your wide receiver room. I'm going to stick with the defensive lineman because I think that's still a glaring need for them.
Yeah, I think that I would be okay with all of these. Now, I'd be kind of curious with Kool-Aid McKinstry. Like, okay, we were looking at him at late first, and now he's sliding all the way to 43. I don't love sliders as much, but, you know, the reason that a guy slides isn't so much what NFL evaluators think of him. It's what these mock draft people think of him. I would like the defensive tackle from Florida State more than the others. Kool-Aid I can get behind just because I know the name. Roman Wilson would be fun because now he's somebody you can throw into the mix with Nico Collins and with Tank Dell, and you have this electric offense. The Texans haven't done much in free agency with the offense other than bringing back their own and then signing their plan B running back in Joe Mixon. And then I don't know about Neyland, and I think that you've spent enough resources at defensive end. Like, it seems like you've signed every defensive end out there. Autry's kind of a three-tech defensive tackle, defensive end.
Deep on defensive pass rush.
You even brought back Barnett. Yep. Like, you brought the guy in from Seattle, and that's not even to mention Danelle Hunter. you're already pairing him with Will Anderson. So I'm out on defensive end when it comes to this draft.
Now, would you strategically look at it and say you got two picks in the second round, you got another one in the 50s? Mm-hmm. Do you think that one of these guys would still be available there or more? Which guy would be more likely? So you take the guy, like say you go defensive line there.
No,
is I think one of those two other way. Guys is going to make it to where you pick your second
no,
round
No, I think you got to pick the guy you love the most, regardless
and
of
And I also
the...
think need matters. I think you need the D lineman first and foremost, and I think one of those two guys might be available with your second.
I'm going to cross out Neyland. I'm going to cross out Kool-Aid McKinstry. I'm not opposed to corner in this draft, even though you've signed two of them, because I think you've signed two of them that are more like can be starters if needed, but not like these locks to start.
Really. Yeah.
Like they're, I mean, if you want to be really honest, you could say that they're draft busts,
yes.
But they're still very young that they could be reclamation projects. Like you took a chance on two bust-ish type of players, hoping you can get the most out of at least, like if you have a 50-50 success rate on those two guys, that would be a major win for me. But I'm not opposed to drafting a corner. I'm not a big Kool-Aid guy. I think Kool-Aid's not as good as many people thought he was throughout the year. I think the Arnold guy from Bama is way better. I like Roman Wilson quite a bit, but I also think, like to your point, you can. It's not so much the player, Roman Wilson, but I think you can find quality receiver later and where you're picking with that next pick. I'm going defensive tackle here, and it's really not even that difficult of a choice for me.
That's my thinking, too. I mean, there's going to be receivers. You might still have another receiver in the second round with your second pick, that whether it's him or somebody else that falls into your lap or that you have the ability to pick if you want to. But I think that you have to address the needs that you still have. And as much as they've gone heavy on the pass rush on the defensive line, I really believe that they need, like a fire plug, a guy that just can absolutely play D'Amico style in the middle of that line, block up the run gaps, and do the things that you need them to do so that your guys can pin their ears back and get to the quarterback. So that's why I'm going the direction of defensive line.
Yeah. Who are you going with? 713-780-ESPN. I just pulled up Paul Gallant, Larry and Stafford, and Paul goes, yes, you're fat. I doubt you've never been quick, twitch, athletic at all.
And then that's where Larry rebutted with the more name-calling?
Yeah, I think they just went back and forth after that. Oh, that's hilarious. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Astros play baseball tonight. They're taking on the Blue Jays, start another series. And Chandler Rome's tweeting that no Brian Abreu, no Josh Hader today, as expected.
I think that's pretty much expected. Yeah, that everybody would have expected that.
And the Astros lineup is out today. Status quo, I think. Altuve, Yordan, Tucker. Yordan DH, by the way. He's on pace not to get to 51.
Stop it.
This is four of his five starts have been at the DH spot.
I got one early.
But you're not on pace. Middle three, Bregman at third. Yiner catches Abreu at first. So Yiner above Abreu. Like that.
So Abreu's hitting sixth or seventh?
He's hitting sixth. And then Chaz Pena and then Myers.
I'd move him to seventh pretty quick.
Who's on the mound for the I haven't looked at the pitching
Blanco
matchup.
Against
Francis. J.P. Francis. No, it's Bowden Francis. He's a righty. I would have Abreu below Chaz, too.
Yeah, I would definitely do that. Maybe it takes some pressure off of him, too. Just lets him relax and goes to the bottom of the lineup. See what you can do. Maybe you can get comfortable.
If you had to make one change here, I guess yours would be Abreu under McCormick.
Sure would.
If I had to go like crazy here, I don't hate Chaz in front of Yiner. Like Chaz hits righties well. Yiner didn't hit. No, Yiner hits righties well. I got those backwards. I would have Chaz ahead of Abreu too. That's the only thing I would change. I like Yiner in the five hole a lot. All right, 713-780-ESPN. It's our Mailbag Monday. Every Monday, you can ask the Killer Bees whatever you want to ask. There's nothing off limits. 713-780-3776. What's your question for the Killer Bees? 713-780-3776 on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, a minute for Allstate Windows and Siding. If you're looking to give your home a facelift, you can forget about painting or staining or doing some of those things that's just a real temporary fix. Buying siding from Allstate Windows and Siding is the answer because they have a huge selection of colors. Their product is energy efficient, impact resistant from wind and weather, and creates that hard outer shell for your entire house. Just like their windows, if you look at Allstate Windows and Siding for one or both windows and siding, you're getting the ultimate protection and an energy efficient solution to keeping your house safe and sound. Call today, 832-204-1936. Ask about their $2,500 off a complete siding job spring special. Visit Allstate Windows and Siding to see all they can do at allstatewindowsandsiding.com. There's discounts available for senior citizens, military, first responders. There's 30% off on all windows right now as another deal. There's all kinds of deals to be had because Mike and Mary and the family owned for almost 50 years. The fact of the matter is they still run the business and they take care of Houstonians on a daily basis. Call them today. Have them see what they can do for you. 832-204-1936 or allstatesidingandwindows.com.
Mail call.
It's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
What's your question for the Killer Bees? Ask whatever you want. 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line. 713-780-3776. Blaine asked this. 5798 asked this. Has B-Mag got fired at April Fool's jokes? If not, why did he got fired? We're not at liberty to say. Who did Miller have the Texans picking with the second round pick? 9656. Tyler Dubin, the safety from Minnesota. Which, that would be a steal. I like that guy quite a bit. Play safety.
Safety.
Yeah, I think he would be...
Well, I think they need safety help, too.
Yeah, I think he would probably... I mean, I don't know how the whole progression is going to work, and D'Amico gets a lot out of young players, but I would think that Ward Petrie start the year as the two safeties, and then Newbin eventually takes over for Ward.
I just hate that, man. Look, it's nothing against Jimmy Ward personally, but what happened last year means it's probably going to happen again. I think they got to have a better option than that.
I don't... I'm with you. I don't hate him being on the roster. I don't want him to be a starter.
Yeah, I don't want him starting at all.
No, I think if you draft Newbin, Newbin's eventually your starter, though. Like, pretty quickly. Like, I would say that four games max before Newbin's your starter. Maybe even opening night.
Yeah, you want to add depth and have Jimmy Ward on the roster, and because D'Amico's comfortable with him, great. But I certainly don't want him starting opening day. And to your point, if it only lasts 4 weeks and then you make a change, okay, I'll live with it, but that's not ideal for me.
713-780-ESPN. What's your question for the Killer Bees? Do you like April Fool's Day?
Hate it.
I got blankers earlier.
You did not get me. I knew what you were doing, but I wasn't in the mood for it.
I deleted our rundown to see what Blank's reaction was going to be. And he wrote a very mean note in our rundown. Very, very mean, Blankers.
It wasn't mean. It wasn't like
stern.
It was stern.
Very
it wasn't
stern.
Paul and Larry. It was just.
He called me fat.
I did not.
713-780-ESPN. Keith from L.A., you have to trade a superstar from the Astros or the Rockets. Wait, hold on. You have to trade a superstar from the Astros, the Rockets, or Texans to guarantee a championship. Who are you trading and why?
Well,
that's a weird question.
Yeah, it is. And to me, it would be, who do you consider a superstar? Is Alpi Shengun a superstar?
Yeah, I mean,
is Jalen Green a superstar?
You need the barometers. And, like, who's the champion? Who's getting the championship? Do we get a pick who's getting the championship?
I guess the team that you trade the superstar from ends up winning a championship with the trade.
3367, sad to hear about BK. I enjoyed his engagement with you guys. It's Brian.
Yeah.
McDonald, BM, BMAC, not BK.
BK left the stadium.
But they do have a lot in common now. I would trade Justin Verlander. Like, if you're still going to win a title, but you trade the star from that team, trade Justin Verlander. He's the oldest. He has the fewest years left. I get a title for trading Justin Verlander. Justin Verlander.
That's a good call. If he's still considered a legit star, then I'm all on board with that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know if you consider Jalen Green and Alpi true superstars yet.
Yeah, you might. I mean, you might even say that Verlander's past superstardom.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why if he still qualifies and is classified as a superstar, fine.
I don't think the Rockets have a superstar.
I don't either.
I think Jalen and Alpi have a chance to get there. I think the Texans have at least two. C.J. Stroud, definitely. Mm-hmm. I think Will Anderson's a superstar.
Danielle Hunter, is he there?
Yeah, good call. I forgot about I was thinking back on last year's team. Yeah, Hunter's a star.
And then Tunsil.
Tunsil's a superstar.
Yeah.
What about Tank?
Not yet.
No. Fair enough. And the Astros, Altuve's a star.
Jordan's
a star. Is Tucker a star?
I think he should be.
I do too. Yeah. Bregman?
Not anymore.
Okay, fair enough.
Boy, did you hear Ken Rosenthal just completely puffing him up during the telecast?
Who puffed him up more, Ken Rosenthal or the 25 pounds he added this offseason?
Ken Rosenthal. He's going to get his money no matter where he goes.
I'll
and on
bet
the
you.
Open market, everybody wants him.
Let's bet, Ken.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was
Let's
thinking.
Bet.
Like, okay, we'll see. go see Matt Chapman and tell me he's going to get his money. And he, well, okay, we'll see.
You know what, Bregman, you know what his start has been? Now, he's a notoriously slow starter. We know this. He's 3 for 15.
Not good.
He's hitting weak pop flies with that little fade golf swing that he uses. 713-780-ESPN. What's your question for the Killer Bees? 713-780-3776. Would you trade John Singleton, Jose Abreu, and trade them for an 85-year-old blind man?
Maybe not that deal necessarily, but if you can find me someone that can still play a little bit, maybe.
I would. I'd trade him.
Just get the contracts off?
Yeah. If you package Singleton and Abreu together, you would not get anybody in Major League Baseball giving you an offer.
No.
If I could get an 85-year-old man on a league minimum and then just DFA him
and
you'd be coming out ahead.
Brandon Bell.
Yeah. I would do that deal in a heartbeat. I'm not even kidding. Like, I mean that sincerely.
Well, if you could do that, it's not, it's not realistic at all.
No,
but if you could, absolutely.
I'd
do it too.
Talking about the first part of that. There would not be a team in baseball that gave you anything for a package of John Singleton and Jose
Abreu.
If you
like Singleton, there's a chance you can get him by June.
Yeah.
And from an Abreu standpoint, there's no team in the league that's going to say, oh, for that money, that guy at that age with what he's done so far since he's been an Astro? Yeah, no.
He's not they have negative value. Those guys. They have negative value. They're not getting you anything. 713-780-ESPN. What's your question for the Killer Bees? 713-780-3776. How much do you care about the roofs being closed?
I thought it was a travesty from the weather standpoint in Houston that they didn't have it open a couple games this weekend. I was under the impression it's the team's choice during the regular season, but because it was national TV, I don't know if that plays into it and the networks get a chance to have a say. But with the weather as perfect as it was opening day and again Saturday, was it? I thought that at least one, but maybe at least two of those four games against the Yankees should have been open roof.
I couldn't care less about this argument. I could not care less.
Let me also say, it doesn't, for me, it has nothing to do with the game itself and how it would have played out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just from a beautiful show off the city perspective on a great field.
Yeah.
I would have like you said, in 100 degree heat, you don't want the roof open. Sure. You should have taken advantage of that.
Go to Discovery Green if you want to be outside. Like, everybody knows the roof's going to be closed 99.9% of the time. You want to go watch a ball game in Houston, the roof's going to be closed. You want to go outdoors to watch a ball game? Go over to Cougar Field, Schrader Park, watch a little Houston Cougar baseball. Go to Reckling, watch some Rice Owl baseball. Minute Maid Park's roof is going to be closed almost every single game. And if you want to watch the Astros, why do you care about the roof? Like, in fact, if you like outdoors so much, why don't you sleep outside? Why do you sleep in the climate control? Huh? Because climate control is better.
Some of
That's
the people
why.
That are going to have an argument on this are going to say, from a taxpayer perspective, the fact that you paid taxpayer
That's
money.
Tourists are paying that.
Taxpayer money to have a retractable roof on both your baseball and football stadiums, and you don't use it in football, and you just seem to not want to use it in baseball. That's sad.
That's the taxi tax and the hotel tax. The tourists are paying for it. I have no idea how that works. I think
it's
they
part
are.
Of it.
I want the tourists to pay for turning the Astrodome into a casino, though.
Do something with it.
Casino.
Or a hotel.
No, casino.
They did that thing where it was an all-in-one. It's a hotel. Yeah. The fields are used
Shops
with glass
and stuff.
Walls where you can play high school games on a big, you know, newly created stadium. I think all that would be great. Just do something with it because it's just an armpit that sits there and gets worse.
Astrodome Palace. Turn it into all that. Shops,
yeah.
Hotels, casino, once they make
well,
it legal in Houston.
You can't have casino probably with the high school games going on.
Why not?
In the center.
Why not? Are there prop bets on high school players?
If they're not, there will be probably shortly.
Did you see the did you see the saw blade almost hit that guy?
The saw blade?
Yeah, I saw this on the Today Show. There was a, I don't know how this happened, but there was a saw blade that just started rolling. Like, I don't know if the wind picked it up and
where?
It started rolling. I don't know where it was. But it was, like, rolling and, like, kind of got picked up in the air and, like, pierced the wall just to the side of a door. And a guy had walked into the door, like, 3 seconds prior to that.
So this is in, like, a...
It almost looks like an outlet store, like, kind of a shop.
So it's off a road or something?
It's like a parking lot. More of a parking lot.
What the heck?
Like, it's hard to pick up the saw blade at first. It's from, like, a Ring camera. I think it's, like, a store. It might have been a residence. I don't know. But you can see it from the Ring camera. There's a guy walking into the left of the Ring camera into the door. And he walks into the door, and then about 3 seconds later, the saw blade is kind of, like, tumbling in the wind and just pierces about 5 feet up the wall just to the...
Go buy a lottery ticket.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know. That was some scary stuff. 713-780-ESPN.
Oh, God, I just saw it. That's
crazy.
A big saw blade.
6941, who's more at fault for our pitching staff, pitching coach or Dana Brown?
Dana Brown.
Dana Brown.
Without question.
Yeah, he's
I
the
see
one.
A lot of people begging for Strami back and saying he's the reason why the staff sucks.
No, I would love to have Strami back. I think Strami's better than what we got.
I think you're right, but I don't think that they can only work with what they have. And I think what Dana Brown constructed for this roster in the bullpen is less than average.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. 713-780-3776. Happened in Oregon, apparently. 8410.
I'm thinking when you said saw blade, Oregon like Trail. A rotary saw that's small, that's probably like 6-inch blade. That bad boy right there is a couple feet.
I don't know if it's
that's about a 2-foot blade.
I don't know if it's 2 feet.
You look at that, the way it hits the door, that looks like from edge to edge,
I would
there's
say
2
a foot.
Feet.
I think it's maybe a foot and a half.
It's close.
Yeah.
And it's nasty.
Yeah, imagine. You think that would have killed him, right?
Oh, for yeah.
You think it kills him? Rest in peace and
with
peace?
With the teeth grabbing and just, oh, man.
You don't think he just pierces?
Look at that thing. Wait till it comes up again. When it gets stuck in the door.
That's a parking lot. It was like a store, right?
Yeah.
A store.
It definitely is. But when it gets stuck in the
oh,
door.
Yeah, he's dead.
That's about a 2 foot from ground to your above your knee.
I didn't see the depth of it. I didn't see it, the. All I saw was the first video. I didn't see the side by side.
Yeah, when it's stuck in the door.
Pierced in.
That looks like one of those in Oregon that's cutting those big trees.
If it hits your arm right here, like on your outside of your arm, you think it kills you? I think you can survive if it gets you in the arm. Eh. You know, if it avoids major artery and you get some, okay. You get an ace bandage on there pretty quickly.
If you get that lucky.
I would say 22% chance at survival.
I think you're over.
What would you put it at?
6.
6% yeah. Chance of survival?
Those teeth are supposed to wreak havoc on what they're cutting. That's not just going to be a clean cut like in surgery. That's tearing you up.
That stuff scares me, man. Like, that's some final destination. Like, if that stuff can happen anywhere. 3367, my question for y'all, what prospects in the Astros farm system are ones to keep an eye on as possible call-ups? Asking specifically for my dynasty baseball team. I don't know how deep your dynasty baseball team is, but you can probably have options better elsewhere. Loperfido.
Getty and Loperfido are probably the two best.
Melton was a popular name before spring training, but he didn't have a great spring. So I would say that. Eric the Driver, why does it seem like the majority of GOAT batters are left-handed while it seems like the majority of GOAT pitchers are right-handed?
Aaron Judge is right-handed, right? Last time I checked.
Is he a GOAT, though? I don't want to consider him a GOAT. Like, the GOATs, I'm talking about, like, Barry... Well, I assume that he's talking about, like, Bonds, Ruth, Gehrig, all lefties.
Trout.
Trout's a righty. Is he a GOAT?
No, I mean, he should be.
Yeah, if you
he's
were...
paid injured. Like it.
I think that left-handed batters have an advantage offensively. Now... The difference between, like, the greatest ever and, like, the second tier of great evers, like, that's not enough of a distance. Like, but you are a little closer to first base. You might get 2 or 3 extra base hits in your career if you're left-handed versus right-handed.
Yeah, but Pete Rose is the greatest hit king. He's the hit king. But, he was right-handed.
I thought he was a switch hitter.
Maybe. You might be right.
I feel like I've seen video of him batting left-handed.
Right.
Yeah. No, yeah, he's a switch hitter.
Okay.
Yeah, switch hitter. I don't know. It's coincidence.
Guy?
Pete Rose, no.
We did his golf tournament here a couple times. His photographic memory for remembering every single pitch ever thrown to him was ridiculous. You can bring up like some at bat, even if it's a World Series or a regular season game, he'll give you the pitch-by-pitch sequence of what happened, how many he fouled off, what pitches were thrown, everything.
Yeah, that's sick.
It's ridiculous.
8410, last one. Question for the show. Will you forgive me for nominating Abreu for team RBI's leader and AL MVP candidate? That might be unforgivable.
Yeah, because, I mean, as much as we're talking about it's just one series, I don't care how many series are played, I don't think he's going to be in the running for either.
Yeah. Somebody said it was a concrete blade. That sounds more dangerous.
Yeah.
I think my chance of survival went down to
2%. And I still think it was about from edge to edge, top to bottom, that's 2 feet.
It's rough. Glad it didn't hit the guy. We wouldn't be watching the video of it if it hit the guy. All right, 713-780-ESPN. I got a little sports sad over the weekend. When was the last time you were sports sad? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a word from my friends at X-Golf Katy. X-Golf Katy simply put the best golf simulators in Houston. They're the only X-Golf simulators, which are exclusive to their company, in Houston. The putting is realistic. All the shots you hit, you've heard me talk about, are realistic. Now they got some great promotions where you could get into some leagues or maybe just get into a promotion with the Masters that might be exactly what you're looking for you and your golf friends. For instance, of their 8 bays, they already have sold out almost half of them, but they're doing a great special on the Sunday of the Masters. $400 per bay. You get the bay from 3 o'clock to 8 o'clock, so it's already paid for itself. You get food just like they have at Augusta National, from the egg salad, pimento cheese, and pork barbecue sandwiches, and all the other fixings. And you can do your 18-hole scramble tournament. You can do everything that you want all right there. And then they also have spring leagues on Mondays and Wednesday nights. Check them out today. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. The first time you go, it'll make you go back again and again. X-Golf and Katie.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. This Paul Gallant, Larry, and Stafford fight vote's not going well for Paul. 69% think that Larry would beat Paul. I don't see it going that way.
I don't see it either.
I don't see it going that way.
I mean, we're doing a ring or a cage or what?
Are we either one? I don't care.
Because I think Paulie's going to be nimble. He's going to be athletic. He's going to be running stronger around a lot. And then, yeah, all he's going to do is pick his spots until he kind of wears him down.
Yeah, I think so. Will Kunkel says that Verlander would need one more than one rehab start before joining the Astros, per Espada. So, 2 rehab starts?
Friday, maybe?
I don't know. It depends on the second one. I have no idea their home schedule.
I was going to say, he ain't doing it on the road.
He's
pitching in Sugar Land.
Like, he would, or they could, depending on that second start and how it lines up, they've sent guys to Corpus.
That's true, too.
So, like, who knows where he's going to be? We have to look at the schedule. 713-780-ESPN. When was the last time that you were sports sad? I was very sports sad on Friday, Blankers. Houston losing to Duke in that Sweet 16 game. Jamal Shedd not playing for the final 26 and a half minutes. I know I'm a homer. I know I bleed Cougar Red. I think Houston goes to the Final Four. Jamal Shedd doesn't get hurt. I think they beat Duke by double digits. I think NC State was a good matchup for them. I think we're talking about Houston in the Final Four going to Arizona later this week. But Jamal Shedd gets hurt. The Cougars, without their All-American, without the Big 12 Player of the Year, without the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, still only lost by 3. Tremendous fight.
Unbelievable.
But I was very, very sports sad on Friday night.
And understandable. Look, I think we've been lucky enough to be close enough to teams where you have this feeling it means more. It cuts deeper. I think of the Damon Lillard Dame Time shot in Portland when there was no doubt in our minds. I looked at Craig and I said, the game's not over yet. And I didn't want to celebrate, but I really felt like the Rockets were going to win that game. That shot just ripped your heart. And that's the end of your season. I mean, that definitive one moment basically it pulls the plug on anything. And it is so gut-wrenching that from a professional, the last time I felt it during the Stockton shot when he beat the Rockets with the 3 at the old Summit.
That was rough.
That one was excruciating. And the Dame shot right off the top of my head was really tough to take.
Yeah, Dame was in the first round, or was that conference?
First round in Portland.
First round in Portland. Rockets were what seed that year?
6?
Was it 6-3?
It might have been a 4-5.
I can't remember. 713-780-ESPN. When was the last time you experienced sports sadness? 713-780-3776. Eric the driver said in 18, it was the first time my friends and I all got back together since leaving for college year prior. We were at my friend's house in his back patio watching the Rockets and Warriors game 7. During the next 20 minutes, we went from groaning and mumbling about the missed shots to begging them to stop taking threes to just sitting there in absolute silence. That's my most memorable sports sad. What's your most memorable sports sad? 713-780-3776. 0735, when Drew Brees retired from the Saints, and then realizing that the Saints would be in quarterback purgatory indefinitely, still trying to pray them out of purgatory.
If
so, Saints fan.
If you take the employer option out of it, the Packers hosting the NFC Championship game against the Niners a couple years ago was really tough to take because it's everything that you wanted. Cold weather, snow, on your home field. You're supposed to win that game, and you basically just pee down your leg. That one was tough.
Yeah. It's hard for me to get, like, other than U of H, it's hard for me to get really sports sad now. I used to do it a lot whenever I was younger. I remember when the Rockets lost to, like, the Sonics. Like whenever I was like, I wasn't probably like wasn't even 10 94. Yet. Yeah, it was probably, I guess it was right around 9 titles. Or 10 yeah. when they lost to the Sean Payton and Gary Payton, Sean Kemp. I merged their names together. I remember being upset about that one. Like, how about the Astros World Series losses recently? The Nationals one kind of stung.
Oh, man, it did. And the way, because of the way it went down and all the different options you could have had. Cole should have pitched. Greinke should have not been pulled. And then, you give up the Kendrick home run. That one was really, really, really painful.
Yeah. The Braves loss didn't bother me as much because I felt like the Braves were better. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like the Nationals were better. I'll admit the last year Game 7 of the ALCS wasn't. Like, just more because it was the Rangers, quite frankly.
That part of it, but also, you felt like Ooh. After Altuve's home run, it just absolutely was supposed to change the fate of the rest of the series. Like, you were going to win a game at home. You were going to take that series. And when you didn't, it was like, oh, my God, what happened?
713-780-ESPN. When was the last time you were sports sad? 713-780-3776. 8201 says 35-3 in Buffalo. 5582, 93 Oilers versus Bills, AFC Championship game. It wasn't the AFC Championship game. I'm pretty sure it was the wild card round game. Yeah, it wasn't the AFC Champion. It was the wild card round game. You still had to win a division round game. You still had to win a conference championship game to get to the Super Bowl. It wasn't the conference championship
after
game.
That's what
I was wondering.
That's a long time ago.
Like maybe it hurts you so much to where you stopped caring as much about sports. Like,
but
I could see
cared
that
about it that much.
Agreed.
I don't know that you just walk away from it.
Yeah. I mean, I could see some like people getting jaded, I think more people care when they're younger for sure. And the older you get, probably you still enjoy it, but it doesn't impact you as much. Like once you have kids, a team losing isn't going to hurt you nearly as much. 713-780-3776. When was the last time you were sports sad? Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Cameron, you're in the Hive with the Bees. When was the last time you were sports sad? Cameron?
Come on, Cameron.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on. Let's go.
When was the last time you were sports sad?
Hey, guys. So my worst moment is I'm a Broncos fan, and we had made it to the first Super Bowl in my lifetime, and me and my best friend threw a party at the house together, got everybody in, and we were spanked by the Seahawks so bad that we turned it off at halftime and kicked everyone out.
Oof. That's right.
Never seen anything like that before in my life.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks, Cameron. That's the thing is, like, people want to talk to you about it and stuff.
Yeah,
and it's like, I don't want to talk about this, dude.
No.
Like, this is the last thing I want to. Because I was in Dallas Friday.
Right.
Would have stayed there throughout the week. Obviously, if they won, would have stayed there Saturday, play on Sunday, yesterday. But since they lost, I was able to come back. We had like a get together Saturday, and then Easter yesterday. And it's like they see me and like, oh, let's talk about this. And I'm like, it's not what I. Let's just enjoy Easter. Let's go.
I used to have rules with friends. Like there has to be like a week grace period because you're so close to it and the finality is so severe. Like I remember walking back into the hotel and having Les Alexander and Tad Brown there to like shake your hand. And you're like, God, that just makes it worse. Cause that is telling you the season is done.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh, what'd you think of this? I don't want to.
No,
think about
I don't at all. It's the last thing I want to talk about.
8074 choking versus the Chiefs, because we'd have been hosting the AFC Championship versus the Titans the next week. That's
a good one.
The 24-0.
Yep.
That one's so weird to me because I never part of being sports sad is the expectations. Like, I had expectation that Houston was going to go to the Final Four. Like, I thought they were better than Duke. I think they would have beaten Duke. I think they would have beaten NC State. Of course, I'm a homer, and I'm looking at it from my perspective.
Hard not to with the way Duke
Cougar
played
goggles.
Against NC State, too, for you not to think. You definitely would have won the Duke game, and you would have. Your defense is good enough to stop it.
So that's why my expectations were high. But you go back to like the Titans or the Texans when they lost to that Chiefs team, I never had high expectations for them. So that's why like I didn't get nearly as sports sad about that as a lot of people did, because my expectations never got that high about that team.
I agree with you. I looked at that going, hey, this is a good experience game for them. I hope they can stay in it. But then with each passing, score and the score getting bigger, I'm like, more in disbelief going, oh my God, this is unbelievable. They're going to actually host the AFC Championship game. And then the Billy Bowl just crushed everybody with the way O'Brien found a way to handle the rest of the game.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. When was the last time you got sports sad? What was it? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.